Hey, everybody, I hope you are doing well, and I hope that my connection is good. I am in Miami, and I actually did not get back in time, so I pulled over to the side of the road, and I'm doing the show from the car, but that's all right. I hope you can hear me well. I hope that you are doing good. We have got, well, you know, again, it's a slow week. We've talked about that, right? It's a slow week, and I guess you're waiting for the Kings season to get going again. As they start the second half against the San Antonio Spurs for the stretch run. Local news, and my question is, what the hell took so long? NBC Sports and Matt Barnes had parted ways, and, you know, it's about freaking time. You know what? That's what I say. I mean, why did they hire him in the first place? Seriously. Like, how does Matt Barnes, like, with his arrest record and his misdeeds and his filth and vulgar and his despicable actions – how does that guy get a job, you know, as part of Kings TV? Would someone explain that to me, please? How does that happen? Seriously, how does that happen? So I saw the story from Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee that NBC Sports, which, by the way, is not making a comment, which is disgraceful. Make a comment, you know, get some balls, make a comment. But again, I ask you what took so long. And then I ask you, well, gee, why did he get hired in the first place? So. You get what you get. That's what you deserve. You hire him, you get embarrassed. That's exactly what you get. All right. If you want to talk about that, raise your hand and we'll do so. Just, you know, talk about whatever you want. And I'm happy to do so as we roll right along here on this Tuesday. If you want to talk about spring training and what's going to happen in baseball, we can do that. You want to talk NBA as we get ready for the stretch run. Well, how about the disaster of Milwaukee with Doc Rivers? How bad is that? I mean, they have been horrible since Doc got there. And I did a rant on this before Doc even coached the game in Milwaukee. I didn't understand why the Bucks would hire Doc Rivers. That makes no sense to me. Seriously, makes no sense to me at all. All right, let's get to Al. Al, welcome to the show. We're going to get you going here on this Tuesday. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Nate. I'm just here with my dog in a nearby creek and getting some fresh air. And yeah, JJ Redick, did you see what he had to say about Doc Rivers? I guess they're going at it in the social media. Boy, he didn't pull any punches, man. He's like, This guy makes excuses about everything. Every time the team has it's never about Doc. It's always some Redick, man. He's, he didn't pull any punches. I know he's.
No, he unloaded on him.
Yeah. Wow. But, you know, well, the other guy, I don't know what it is that day. I mean, you know, the other guy had a great record, but, you know, I think Giannis and a couple other of their top players didn't like his methods, you know.
It was a nightmare there. I have a very good source with that organization, and they said it was a nightmare. None of the coaches liked him. Players didn't like him. It was very bad. I mean, obviously, if you're 30 and 13 and you fire the coach, you know, there's some stuff going on behind the scenes. So, it was not a good situation.
Well, that's, I'm not really in touch with the Bucks. I never heard anything bad about Giannis as far as being a head case. So that's I did catch the podcast with Scott and your visit with him. That was really great stuff. You know, Donna.
Thank you.
You were surprised that you're, you know, I feel like it sounds to me like, you know, you sounded kind of surprised when Don said, yeah, I'll be right down. And I know what you mean about ICU and family only. My wife was in the ICU for she had a, you know, brain hemorrhage years ago. And you know, it's only family, but your family to the Pollard just sounds like, so, you know, I wasn't surprised that she.
Yeah, but I don't think she makes the rules. I think the hospital, I guess there are two things that shocked me. Number one is that I was allowed to go in and see him. And number two, that he was as coherent and as alert as he was. Right. Those two things really. And then, you know, again, when I was there, they had him stand up and, you know, go to a chair and sit down. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I was looking at a human being that less than 24 hours ago had heart transplant surgery, and he's standing up and then walking over to a chair. I mean, that's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it sounded like his doctor said you're a week ahead of schedule, but maybe it's because he played in the NBA for years, and I know he's probably his physical condition is probably still in great shape, so that might be helping his process, you know what I mean, as far as his conditioning. I'm sure
Well, I think his mindset, being a professional athlete and the work ethic and the perseverance and how he pretty much, you know, played his entire career, both in college and the NBA.
Right.
I think his personality, Al, has a lot to do with this.
Yep. And you got to, you know, like you said, it's the mental aspect of these things that whatever you're dealing with, if it's a real curveball to, you know, inside on your life, you got to take it, whether it's cancer or a heart, you know, heart transplant, you got to have if you can have a positive outlook, you know, and Scott, you know, he's got that positive outlook, and he's got Dawn, his wife, and I guess it's for three boys. They're still pretty young.
No. He has his youngest is six. And then his oldest son is going to be a senior in high school next year.
Okay. My bad. But I mean, you got to have it's all mental. It's just as much as physical, because if you can have a positive, I'm going to lick this, you know, and have a support like Dawn and his wife and friends like you who check in. And I mean, that's a big, big part of the process. And having people like yourself being a loyal, supportive friend who, you know, took a flight out there to be there. And even though
I don't deserve any credit. I mean, his wife is a rock. Yeah. She's unbelievable. I have so much respect for her. If the roles were reversed, he would have been there for me. You know what I mean? And I would have had other friends that would have done the same thing. So I don't need a pat on the back. But what I would say is just being there was an eye-opening experience for me.
Yeah. And I know you're not even looking for that. You know, he's a good friend, and he did it. So that's nice to see. And all the bad news we get these days. So I'll just leave you with, you know, I enjoyed the story. I'm going to keep following, try to keep following. And I think his wife posts on some social, I don't follow people usually except for yourself, but I'll just say prayers for him and his family. And I feel good personally. The Kings are going to, you know, get moving in the second half and hopefully get in the top six and out of that play-in tournament. So I'll take care, man. Thanks for taking the call.
All right. Thank you. Be well, Al. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. All right. Again, if you want to get in on the show, all you got to do is raise your hand and we will do it. And we say hello to Ryan in Sacktown. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Napes? I forgot you had to turn the mic on around here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, those are small little details that you got to take care of.
Yeah, it might be important. But I wanted to take the other side of Al's comment right there. Giannis might be the problem. How many head coaches has Giannis been through? How many times have you seen him lose his temper at times during the game? We've seen videos of him pushing ladders before games. I think it's a fair question.
Well, Giannis is not the problem in Milwaukee. At least, and I will say this, he wasn't the problem as far as it related to Adrian Griffin. That I know for a fact.
Yes,
for sure. Know. Now, in terms of their struggles right now, I can't really talk about that. But in terms of the coach, he's not the reason why Adrian Griffin got fired.
No, he's not. He's not responsible for Adrian Griffin, but I just think his hands aren't clean there. I think there's some middle ground there, and he's a superstar. I guess they all are to some degree.
Well, so, you know, again, I don't want to speculate without knowing, but I know for a fact that Adrian Griffin was a problem with the assistant coaches. Didn't like him. The players had problems with him. He was really overstepping his boundary as it related to a head coach. It was not a good situation.
Fair enough. Well put. All right. I'm out.
All right, buddy. Have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Again, if you want to get in on the program, raise your hand and we will do it. We'll put you right on as we roll right along here on a Tuesday and we say hello to Rich. Rich, good to have you on the show. How are you today?
Well, it's good to be on your show, Grant. Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well. Thank you.
Good, good. Just about probably an hour ago, I listened to your whole story that you shared on your other site about your visit with Scott.
Yep.
And it actually brought a tear to my eye, man. It was very, very moving. And
thank you.
And, you know, I just think it was just so, so awesome, you know, and I really appreciate you sharing that. And I guess it kind of sheds a light on, you know, how delicate life is and how important life is, you know?
Yeah, and I just sat in my hotel room. I turned my mic on. I started talking. Uh-huh. And, yeah. You know, I just kind of spoke from the you know, I keep on saying heart, and I had to,
it's part of the way
we speak. But I mean, I really did. And I was touched by what I witnessed in that hospital room on Saturday morning on so many areas that I was touched. Like Scott and Dawn were actually praying when I was there for the donor's family. Like they actually did a prayer.
Wow.
Like, you know, I mean, I watched it, you know, I watched Dawn and Scott say a prayer.
Yeah.
For the donor's family, who, by the way, they don't know. They don't know who the donor is. That's not revealed. They just, they took time on the day after his surgery.
Wow.
They had a moment together where they were head to head and they were thinking about the donor's family who they don't even know.
Wow.
You know, and I was just like, wow. I mean,
yeah.
You know, again, when I got the message on Thursday night from Scott, when I was in Sacramento and he told me that there was a really good chance he was going in at 11 a.m. And I was going to surprise him. I was going to Nashville and I was going to surprise him, but I figured I would be seeing him before his heart transplant. And then when he told me that, that's when I said, Scott, I really need to tell you something. And he said, what's that? I go, I was going to surprise you, but I will be there. I know I probably will not be able to see you, but I will be there in spirit, blah, blah, blah. But on Friday morning, I sent him a message. I said, hey, I'm just checking. Are you still a go? And he said, yeah, it looks like we're a go. And then literally 30, 45 minutes later, he sent me back a message. I just saw a video of the heart that's going to my body. And I'm like, the doctor took a video. Okay. That's of amazing. The heart in the chest cavity of the donor, picked the heart up and showed Scott the heart that he was getting. Wow. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And then you know, I mean, Rich, it's a gift of life. Yeah. Donors are gifts of life. That's what they do. They make people have lives. They think about all the people that would die if it weren't for donors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, I'm happy to say that I'm a registered donor. So, you know,
good for you. And so am I.
I did many, many, many years ago. And, you know, so, anyway, that's awesome. Well, thanks, Grant. I just wanted to share that with you, you know, and I did actually reach out just to let you know, I did actually reach out to a longtime friend of mine that I'm friends with on Facebook. I've been for many years and he's a very, very established and well-known musician in Nashville. And he went to high school with me in Sacramento. And I shared that story with him. And I said, well, I don't know how well you remember Scott Pollard or what, you know, this and that, you know, because it's been a lot of years since we've had a one-on-one conversation. But I says, I just want to let you, I just told him the story, you know, and I says, if you happen to know the hospital or whatever, you know, I says, maybe you can swing by and play him a song, you know, because he's amazing, amazing musician. But anyway, his name is James House. But, you know, you could potentially Google him later and see about, you know, he's got a lot of history behind him. He's written a lot of music. He's a famous songwriter and stuff. So from Sacramento. So
awesome.
Anyway, so I just wanted to share that with you. And
thank you, Rich.
And you have a wonderful evening. And
thank you.
You know, look forward to Scott's success. And I'll say a prayer for him every day.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you very much. We'll keep you posted. I'm sitting here in South Florida. It's about 70 degrees. And I'm just like, wow, so beautiful here. I will just say that he's got a long road ahead of him. He didn't have a good day yesterday. Dawn put that out on social media. And I texted him today and he told me he had a very rough night. But the good news is the heart is good. His issues have nothing to do with the heart. He had all the tubes taken out today, which I think there were four tubes coming out of his body. So they were removed today, which is a big plus. And I believe his message that I received about 2 hours ago, he's moving to a different area of the hospital tomorrow. So that's a real positive. So, you know, again, nobody ever said that getting a heart transplant's a picnic and like, you know, you're going to have a heart transplant surgery and then, you know, you're going to be doing jumping jacks the next day. All right. like, and I said this on my podcast, and I said this on the show yesterday, there's a long road ahead for him. All right. There's a long road ahead for him. And, you know, the most important thing is that his body does not reject the heart. And so far, so good. So far, so good. But from what I understand and talking to Scott and Googling, and I asked Scott, he said, you know, really, it's what you need to get a year. And once you get a year under your belt where you're good, then you're good. So, I mean, it's only been, what, 4 days, okay? So, you know, I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here. All I'm trying to say is, you know, the last two nights have not been good for him. And he's been in a lot of discomfort. But you would expect that when you have your body cavity cut open. And you, I mean, come on. But the good news is the heart is very good. Very good. And I know Dawn put out on Facebook, you know, I'm not sharing anything that I'm not supposed to be sharing. Trust me. Okay. I'm not going to, you know, step on their privacy as it relates to their healthcare. I'm only doing that once I see Dawn put it out on social media. And I know Scott like my brother. I know what he would not mind me saying. I get it. Scott and I think alike. So I know what he's okay with, and I know what he's not okay with. So I'm not saying anything that's, you know, out of step and out of line. I mean, he and I think alike. All right. If you want to get in on the program, raise your hand. And we will do it on this Tuesday. Tomorrow, I will have a open forum Wednesday, either at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. And then on Thursday, I'll probably do a show at 8 o'clock Eastern time, 5 o'clock Pacific, leading up to the Kings and the Spurs, but I will not be able to join Ryan and Jerry for that game, as I will be traveling on Thursday night. But I'll do a show before I get on the plane. All right, let's get to John. John, welcome to the show. How are you, buddy?
How are you, Grant?
John, what's going on?
Oh, man, listening to your podcast today about Scott, man, that was a tearjerker. You know what I mean? It's just so great that a guy like that, who's so deserving, who's been so helpful and so nice to people. I mean, I've met the dude, you know, 3 or 4 times or so. And every time, hey, Scott, how's it going? Hey, buddy. You know, I mean, yes. I had a small conversation about my neighbor. My neighbor used to have, you may recall, my old neighbor, he was a huge Kings fan. Yep. And he had a great Dane named Pollard. And I told him that this was 15 years ago or so. He got a big kick of that. Wow, that was cool. But he was such a genuine individual. Cool, nice. He would talk to you. He would listen, and he would reply. He wouldn't just blank-faced, you know, listen and say, okay, thanks, goodbye. He would actually listen. He still will. I almost talk about him in the past tense. Well, that is not intentional, because he is going to, he's making it through this, Grant, and, you know, with support like you, and I hope you let him know that everybody here in Sacramento, me, Jerry, everybody, Ryan, Rick,
I told him, I made it very clear to him that the amount of people that were thinking about him were in the thousands and thousands and thousands, and he knew about some of it, but I said, Scott, you have no idea. I go, there are so many people praying for you, and he was very touched by that, so yeah, I made sure that he knew. And his wife.
Man, Grant, and that's great. And it's you know, really close to my heart, because it was a year ago yesterday that I got the news about my father, Grant, which was, you know, that was the toughest thing I'd ever been through. You know, I mean, I've had grandparents and so forth. My mom's still around and stuff. But just for that, and just everything, you go into the memorial of your buddy's friend. I mean, friend's dad, that is. I mean, that's... Grant, you got a huge heart. You got a huge, no pun intended, like you said. You know what?
I'll tell you what it is to me. And I think you're the same. And I don't know you well enough to say this, but I feel like I know you that well from talking with you all these years.
We've known each other for 20 years. I mean, we've shaken hands a few times.
But I think, let me finish. I think you and I, and I think there are a lot of people, but the most important trait in a person is loyalty. There's nothing to me more important than loyalty. And the friends that are loyal to me, I'm loyal to them and vice versa. And when I have loyalty, then I will do anything in the world for that individual. And I think a lot of us feel that way, but the most important trait to me in a friend is loyalty. And I learned in the last 3 years plus what loyalty is all about. Okay. And I know my friends who are loyal and the friends that I thought were loyal that maybe weren't as loyal as I thought. And I will take a bullet, okay, for people that have been loyal to me. Like I will. I'll take a bullet for them. And there's nothing to me, John, more important than loyalty. So when I go do something like that for Scott or my friend in Sacramento or whatever, those friends were loyal and are loyal to me. And I just feel like, you know what? I need to be loyal to you because I want to be loyal to you because it's important for me to show you how much you mean to me. Like that's important to me. It's all about loyalty, John.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Stress. We all have it to a degree, big, small, but I think you can agree we all carry around different stressors. Most of you know what I've gone through the last 4 years, complete career change, moving across the country, filing a lawsuit, being in the news often, dealing with all of that, trust me, has not been easy. And if you keep things bottled up, it can really have a negative impact on your life. Therapy is a safe space. You get things off your chest. You can figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills. You can set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And you know what, folks? It's not just for those who have experienced major trauma. Hey, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's online. It's easy, convenient, flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grant today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grant.
Grant, you know, I feel 100% the same way. Not 99, 100%, Grant, and not 110. Yep. There's no such thing, 100%. You know what I mean? I commend you for everything you do and everything you're still doing and helping Ryan along and everything like that. I mean, everything. I don't need to talk any sports today. I just want to commend you for everything you're doing. And thank you, Grant.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. And we will talk soon. And maybe we'll talk sports next time. But whatever we talk about, Grant, it'll be from the heart. And thank you.
Amen. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, again, if you want to get in on the good call, John, if you want to get in on the program, just raise your hand and we will do it. There's nothing to me more important than loyalty. That's it. If you're loyal to me, man, I'll do anything in the world for you. And we all have friends that, or family members, which all your family members should be loyal, but some aren't. But the point is, when you have friends that are loyal, like, that's it, right? Like, there's nothing better than that. I'm a firm believer in loyalty. When I say I'm going to do something, I will do it. Like if I tell a friend that I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Like I believe in being loyal. Like that's the most important trait to me. And again, I went through a difficult situation a couple of years ago. And some of my friends who I thought were loyal, well, they were not loyal. Well, they're not my friends anymore. And I, you know, my friends that stood by me with their actions, not only words, because actions speak louder than words. Like Scott refused to do any interviews for the Kings. He refused to do anything when the Kings asked him. He said, when you bring back Grant, then I'll do it. Until then, don't call me anymore. Like, that's loyalty. Like, that's a guy that loved the Sacramento Kings, bled the Sacramento Kings, okay? Loved Sacramento. And by the way, still loves Sacramento. That's never changed. But in terms of, you know, doing certain things for the Kings when they've asked him, he's like, no, you bring back Grant, I'll do it. Like that's loyalty, right? That's loyalty. But I mean, Scott's been a dear friend of mine for 20 years. You know, our families have vacationed together. We've been at each other's homes on numerous occasions. We used to go out to dinner on the road all the time. I mean, the guy's the best. You know, I mean, no pun intended. He has a big heart. Well, now he really has a big heart and a great heart and a healthy heart and a strong heart. But that's what I judge people by, their loyalty. And there are other people who, by the way, that I didn't even know 3.5 years ago that stepped forward. Okay. Stepped forward and have helped me. And I mean, one of them is one of my sponsors, you know, actually all of my sponsors, but I take that back. Brian Bennett, I've known for a long time, but New Works Plumbing, I met after everything happened to me, came forward, said, what can I do to help you? We never met before. That's loyalty. You know, he's like, hey, what happened to you is so wrong and I want to help you. What can I do for you? And then same thing with Blazona Development. When they jumped as a sponsor a couple of months ago, you know, I ran into Dennis. He said, hey, I need to support you. I need to help you. What happened to you is so wrong. I want to help you. Like, that's loyalty, right? That's loyalty. And I've said this, and I'm very open about this. You know, if I come across a big sum of money, I'm going to keep on doing my show, but I'm going to do all of the advertising for Brian Bennett and Bennett's Restaurants and New Works Plumbing and Blazona Development. And I'm not charging them a penny. I'm doing all their advertising for free for as long as I'm on the air. I'm not charging them a dime. You know why? Because they were loyal to me. They helped me when I needed it. And even though financially, it's probably not going to make a difference to them, but I'm going to do it anyway. So, you know, when I win my lawsuit or what have you, I'm still going to do my show and I'm still going to talk about Blazona Development. I'm going to talk about New Works Plumbing. I'm going to talk about Bennett's Restaurants, and I'm doing it for free. Not paying me a dime. I won't even accept it. Even if they say, no, we have to, I'm going to say, well, then I'm going to give it to charity. I won't take a dime from them because I believe in loyalty. And I believe when, you know, people step forward and do something for me, then I'm going to do something for them and vice versa. And I don't really expect people to do anything for me when I do it for them, but I think you understand my drift, okay? When it comes to business, when it comes to like, hey, I need money to live on. I need help. Thank you very much for sponsoring. You were there when I needed you, and I'll never forget that. And now if I can pay it back, then I'm paying it back. So that's, I have no issues with that. No issues with that at all. All right, again, if you want to get in on the program, raise your hand, and we will do it. Again, not a lot going on in sports. So, you know, it's talking about Scott and other subjects. That's fine, right? Because there's no NBA until Thursday. And then we can really get going again. Don't forget, I will not be on with Ryan and Jerry. Ryan will have the pregame before the Spurs, Jerry Reynolds at halftime, and then the postgame show. I won't. I will not be able to do it. I will be in the air. I will be flying. So, unless they have really good Wi-Fi on a plane, and I don't think Ryan would want me to be breaking up and everything while I'm trying to talk from, you know, 38,000 feet. We could try it, you know? We could try it. I can give you a review of the flight I'm on, right? Tell you what's good about it, what's bad about it. Maybe interview one of the flight attendants. You know, go, hey, come here. We're on live here on. If you don't like that, are you an NBA fan? Where are you from? Do you follow sports? You know, do a little interview. How long have you worked for this airline? You know, what do you recommend for people that book on this airline? What's the best seat? What do you recommend? What's the best meal you serve on this flight? So, you know, I could do that. You know, if we got good Wi-Fi, I think that would be great. You know, and then John can call up, put his, you know, big ugly mug up on the screen and go, hey, what do you think of this guy? Right? Critique the people that call in on the post game. Why not, right? Maybe I'll try it. What the heck? And if we get caught up, we get cut off. I'm all good with that. I know Ryan wouldn't mind. you'd get a kick out of that. So it's all good. All right. Again, if you want to get on before I wrap it up, please do so. And very happy to take your phone call. If not, don't forget tomorrow. Tomorrow, again, probably thinking about tomorrow, probably 4 o'clock Pacific tomorrow, as I'm looking at my day and everything else I've got going on tomorrow. My schedule is absolutely nuts right now. So I apologize. It's like crazy. Like, it's been absolutely crazy. So I appreciate you like dealing with my time changes and everything else, and my absences when I can't do a game because of this or that. I greatly appreciate it. But Ryan's doing a fabulous job, and I know you all love when Jerry's on at halftime. So, you know, they got a big stretch coming up, beginning with the Spurs. You got a couple of tough games after the Spurs coming out of the gate. So we got you covered over on my YouTube channel if you don't like that. And again, if you did not get a chance to listen to my podcast today on Scott Pollard, you can look at it, you know, check it out on Spotify, Apple, whatever your favorite podcast platform. And remember, you can always go to my website, all right, if you don't like that.com or grantnapier.com, and it's right there for you. So if you miss anything that I do, just go to my website, if you don't like that.com or grantnapier.com. Really appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. Quick show today. I'm going to like get back on the road, get to where I'm going. I'm glad I didn't have like, you know, law enforcement come up and say, hey, what are you doing over here on the side of the road? You can't be here. It's okay. You know what? I'm not bothering anybody. I'm just in my car hanging out. It's all good. You take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Make it a safe Tuesday evening. We appreciate you very much. So long, everybody.